We made it, Clipper Nation.
Woo!
Another week in the books.
One more week closer to Clippers basketball.
Absolutely. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. And we're so happy to bring you guys the news.
Thanks for coming through today.
Yeah, we love it. If you're a new listener, hey, thanks for coming in.
Great team choice on your part.
Yeah, you couldn't do better. So please subscribe on iTunes. If you listened before, leave a rating and review. We'd love to know what you think.
Say something funny in it. We'll shout it out on the pod.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with our off-season daily segment, Shavings, which is where we kind of wrap things up. Just kind of, you know, some happenings, murmurs.
There's a murmur that made me really upset this morning that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about Sean Livingston's retirement, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And Charles is real heated about these Bradley Beal trade rumors, so we got to dig into that. And then I kind of posed this question yesterday. We had a bit of a conversation about, how the starting lineup would look. And it got me questioning about Landry Shamet's positioning. So we're going to talk about that. And then every single Friday, we do our Pacific Division Power Rankings. However, today we're doing something a little bit different. We're going to look at the quasi logjam? What do you want to call it?
I think it's a logjam.
We have a bit of a logjam at the small forward position, so we're going to kind of look at that and dissect that, and then also every Friday, we do it every week.
Oh yeah,
love, marry, kill.
This is a fun one this week.
We got a good one, so stay tuned for all of that and possibly more.
Want to give a shout out to Indochino Suits.
Indochino
is the world's most exciting made-to-measure menswear company. This week, our listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369.
Wow.
Fan-frickin-tastic. At Indochino.com, enter the promo code LOCKEDON, all capital letters, one word, to get that discount. All right, so we're starting with shavings, which is personally my favorite way to start the show.
Love.
Want to give, the biggest of shout-outs to Sean Livingston.
Yeah. For sure. Were you bummed by this news?
I was bummed in the sense someone had a great tweet of that basically said Sean Livingston is one of the few athletes where everyone wants him to succeed and was happy in his success based on his journey. I think that's 100% true.
Agreed. Yeah, a great NBA story, great career. I guess the one thing that does bum me out is it doesn't necessarily seem like it was 100% by choice.
Yeah, that's what's hard. It seems like it was my body's maybe breaking down.
Yeah.
Which is fair given what he came back from. The word perseverance gets thrown around a bunch in sports. The dude should be in the dictionary next to perseverance. And what he did for the Clippers, he got excitement up in those early aughts when things were obviously very bleak. And
great braids.
Great fro. As someone who tried to play basketball with an afro, mine obviously looked much worse. He could do it very well. Hope he enjoys retirement. Want to thank him for everything he did for the Clips.
Yeah.
Just one of the most interesting careers.
For sure. Probably not a Hoffer, but deserves to be.
Yeah, it could be.
Adjacent.
Hoff adjacent. I like that. That's fair. So Zach Lowe, in a hypothetical, none of what I'm about to say is Zach Lowe's fault.
Gotcha.
In a hypothetical on his podcast, Zach Lowe said that if Bradley Beal became available, the Clippers would be interested. And now, the reason I am so upset about this is because people are now acting like we should do this.
Yeah.
Which I think is a little greedy.
I think.
And short-sighted.
I agree. I also think, man, it's the off-season. I feel like we all get a little stir-crazy.
For sure.
So if there's a whiff of a trade, everyone's like, oh, gotta get the trade machine going. How can we do this?
Yeah. His quote from this that. The quote itself didn't make me sad because this is what it would take to get Bradley Beal, I think. He said, "The Clippers don't have the draft assets for such a trade, which is maybe something a rebuilding team would want. But I wonder how they would feel about a theoretical package of Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, Landry Shamet, and Fee, leaving a thin and aging roster around Beal, Leonard, and George." So, I personally think that would be terrible. That's an awful trade for us. As he said it himself, it's a thin and aging roster around Beal, Leonard, and George. Leonard being the guy who said he wants a good roster around him, which is why we had to get Paul George. Who is left who's good on the team after this? It's just a trade that I don't get why people want us to even move any of these pieces. And I'm not saying Zach Lowe is saying we should do this, but people are reacting as if we should consider parting with Trez and Landry Shamet.
Yeah, That's absurd to me.
It ruins our depth.
Yeah.
That's two of our best bench players. And one of them is a starter in the beginning of the season because Paul George possibly is out for an extended period of time. And we have no future.
It's yeah, just like, I mean, like, it, you know, the thing is I feel like right now we're already in this kind of two-year window, right?
Yes. And Bradley Beal will be an unrestricted free agent in 2 years.
Agreed. Yeah. So, I mean, it'd be impossible to make the math work to re-sign all these guys.
I think we would get Beal's bird rights.
Yeah.
But then we have three max guys and...
Question mark?
I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah,
no,
we have
exactly.
No draft picks.
Exactly. I think that the thing with the championship window is, obviously we hope that it does actually come to fruition and we can convince one or two of these guys to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But if we go away trading these essential depth pieces, I mean, it leaves us in a really tough spot afterwards.
The whole point of why this team is so great is that we're consistent kind of up and down the roster. Obviously, we're top heavy with Kawhi and Paul George.
For sure.
But after that, it's a pretty nice, even keel of what you can expect when people are on the court.
Definitely.
The argument that I was hearing is it's going to be hard to re-sign Trez and Shamet. We can work with that. Shamet, I think, is going to be our top priority when it comes to the new contracts.
Yeah.
He, I think, should be, given his skill set and, you know, what we're going to see the season, maybe. And Trez might get overpaid, but that move we did by giving Lou, you know, next year's salary, we fully guaranteed it. Trez knows what him and Lou do.
For sure.
He knows what they do. I think we could do some kind of short extension. This front office, I trust them to get it done, is the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've fully been expecting Montrezl Harrell to enter free agency. Not that we won't retain him, but I do think his asking price goes up, which, you know, that's going to eliminate any possibility of a third, if you want to, I'm putting quotes around it, star.
Yeah, max contract.
In terms of a max contract guy. Landry, I'm not that worried about. We have three more years. He's still on his rookie deal.
Yeah.
So, that one.
That's fine.
Yeah, that one is fine. And
say we lose one of those, one of the two max guys, that comes around right when he's getting a new contract.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't, I mean... Last year, during the trade deadline, we wanted Beal when we had different assets
for sure.
to trade in a different roster. But sacrificing Trez, if you want to trade away Trez and Shamet, I don't understand it. I firmly am against that.
I agree.
It just doesn't make sense.
I agree. Shamet.
And no disrespect to Beal.
Yeah.
But yeah. For this team, no.
That's
it. Who's on our bench?
Yeah, no, I agree, but I like if you're just looking at it individually, this would be a fleece of a deal by us on the Wizards.
Yeah, they would get everything.
No, we're winning. We're fleecing them.
I think they're winning.
No, they are not winning.
Really?
Yeah, we're getting like a two-way all-star.
For sure.
And we're giving up, I mean, Patrick Beverley, who is great, but he is somewhat limited.
I agree with that. The Shamet part with everyone else is where it gets me.
Shamet is incredibly limited. Like, the most limited of these three players.
Second-year player, though, which is I think they maybe see that. You know, they're trying to rebuild,
I guess,
would be why I think it's maybe. Because for their, I guess maybe not fleece. I think they, quote-unquote, win. Because for their rebuild, they get these guys who are young. Bev thrown in there, too. We haven't even talked about how absurd that is.
Yeah.
He's the heart and soul of his team.
I know. Well, I think that's the bigger thing is, like, just from being, like, the fan perspective.
Dude, I can't.
Getting rid of Bev and Trez, to me, would be... a nightmare.
And rightfully so. I'd be a nightmare.
But if I'm looking at it a little bit more objectively, I mean, we're ultimately getting a lot of value, especially for not even having to give up any draft picks for this. Granted...
To be fair, we don't have those to give up.
Yeah, that's fair. That is also fair. But, you know, we are firmly in that situation then of like, all caps win now.
All like, caps win now. Right now, we're kind of like win now with a couple of ellipses behind it.
Yeah.
This would be win now, win period now period.
Yeah.
Because who knows what the team would look like in 2 years maybe.
Yes.
All right. That was just heated. I was upset about it. Let's get into this Landry Shamet shooting guard or small forward situation.
Yeah. So it's interesting looking at how we used Landry last year.
Mm-hmm.
In While he was in LA, he played the majority of his minutes at the small forward position, about 77%.
Yeah.
As calculated by Basketball Reference.
Shout out BR and the 13 people that work for that giant website.
He had a more even split in Philly, basically half and half with a little bit more time at the shooting guard position, which I think most people would agree is what he seems like is a shooting guard.
And weirdly, almost 10% of his time at the power forward.
Yeah, yeah, that's bizarre. So his overall career splits over one season is he's played about 38% of his minutes at the shooting guard, but 55% at the small forward, which I guess is the thing that's interesting to me because we did run a three-guard lineup last year.
Yeah.
As our starters, which, you know, made sense for the personnel.
At the time, definitely.
You know, and it is interesting because he is like, we did use him as almost like a lazy small forward position.
I see what you're saying.
If that makes sense. Like, he kind of like was posted up on the wing. He doesn't really have an inside game, which, I mean, like, traditionally, small forwards are much more dynamic scorers. But he never handled the ball really that much at all. I can't, like, think of that many instances in which he was, like, running point.
Point, for sure.
So, I think in that sense, last season he was used as, what I'm deeming a lazy small forward.
I mean, over half the time of his minutes were there. I think it's totally fair to say that. And for us, it was 77% of his time.
Yeah.
At small forward, which is crazy.
It's a lot. It's the lion's share of his minutes.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's interesting because I think this conversation keeps coming up again and again. And obviously, like, positionless basketball, I kind of hate that word, but it is more of, like, the MO of most teams right now.
Yeah.
But I think it still does beg the question, if he is unable to develop as a ball handler and playmaker.
In that SG role?
Yeah.
Is he just a small forward?
Is he just the lazy small forward?
He might be, but not in a bad way.
Yeah.
He might be the new small forward, to put a more positive spin.
I don't think so. The new small forward is, I mean, the new model for a small forward is, I mean, Kawhi.
That's true. Damn. So Landry is, in essence, a very modern version of a tweener.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way.
Yeah, no, exactly. He's like he's a tweener. He's like a guard forward tweener.
Yeah. I'm just ruminating on this right now.
So does this ultimately matter? I mean,
I think maybe the lack of a point guard, we might see that distribution of 23% shooting guard to 77% small forward. I think that might get not switched fully, mm-hmm. but it's going to get cut down quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I think that this is...
Except for in the beginning of the season, of course. Sorry.
The only reason this, like, came up to me or was interesting to me is obviously how much we did use him at the small forward when he's traditionally thought of as a guard, which I would call him a guard.
Yeah.
But I think for me, this begs the question of what does our starting lineup look like?
At full strength?
At full strength.
I don't think anyone knows. That's a kind of a cop-out answer.
Best guess.
Best guess? Bev... This is optimum full strength.
Optimum full strength.
Bev, man, I'm going Kawhi PG interchangeable at the 2 and the 3.
Okay.
This is where it gets tricky.
Mm-hmm.
At the 4. 5 is Zoo, 100%.
5 is Zoo, yeah.
4 is Jermichael. Because they want to keep, I think, Harkless on the second unit to help shore up Lou's defensiveness. That is my tepid, full-strength starting lineup.
I would agree. I think that makes the most sense. I have seen arguments for Jermichael being moved to the second unit.
Which I'm also fine with.
Yeah, and having Landry on the first. I just think...
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
Because I think part of it is if we can, maybe our team wants to develop him as an SG more, a true SG, maybe he gets moved to that second unit and just a tiny bit, a few little things get peppered in for him to do distribution stuff.
Yeah.
Not a full 77% switch over to SG with like distribution responsibilities and stuff like that. But maybe on nights when Lou doesn't have it or something like that, we see a little more pointedness from Shamit. Not a bunch. I'm not saying like he's going to be a tweener between the one and the two.
Yeah, I agree. I think the thing is let's say that he's not able to develop playmaking to the level where he is in the starting lineup.
For sure.
If he develops a Klay Thompson type skill set, mm-hmm. where you know essentially he's a shooter, he can create a little bit more motion. Doesn't really handle the ball that great,
yeah.
but plays solid. I mean, you know, solid defense.
Yeah.
I think he's a little bit overrated as a defender. Do you think that's worthwhile to keep him in this scenario where he develops that
100%.
In the starting lineup?
Oh, in the starting lineup?
Yeah.
No, because I want our.
I agree.
I want our bench to. Destroy other benches. I want our bench to force the other team to be like, dog, we got to play more starters with the second unit because Lou, Trez, Sham, and maybe Jermichael Green and whoever else you throw in there are killing us.
For sure, yeah.
Like,
and I think some of those minutes at small forward was due to a hesitancy in of like trust in his ball handling ability.
For sure.
With the starting unit. So yeah, I think if he does continue to be, if we do see a flip with him playing, you know, the majority of his minutes at the shooting guard, it will be on the second unit.
For sure. This is a fantastic question. Let us know what you guys think Landry Shamit is. A revelation from William the Opinion Updike. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking the logjam at the forward position.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so welcome to William Updike's logjam 2019.
Yeah.
I was looking at these numbers. I think you're right, dude.
So it's interesting because I think the biggest conversation that has come since the trade is where are Paul George and Kawhi playing? Are
yeah.
they interchangeable at the 2 and 3? Are they going to move up a position to 3 and 4? And how does that affect the rest of the lineup as well as wing depth in general? So, I mean, I guess let's just break into it with the two stars. That's probably the easiest.
Yeah.
So Kawhi, I mean, just a natural small forward.
Yeah.
It's like he has the prototypical body type of a small forward. He has the dynamic scoring wherein he can play inside, he can play in the post, he can shoot from outside.
And the minutes distribution suggests.
And the minutes distribution suggests over his career, he's played 88% of his minutes at small forward. They have, you know, the different teams, well, of the two that he's played for, have entertained some ideas of Kawhi at the shooting guard, about 4% of his minutes, as well as the power forward at 9% of the minutes. And I think that the biggest, I feel like the most consensus thing I hear on Twitter, this isn't, you know, verified or anything like that, just from anecdotal observations, mm-hmm. is most people think, who advocate for these guys moving down a position that Kawhi would play the power forward.
Yes.
And, you know, positionless basketball, whatever, whatever, that's fine. But his best net ratings have come in seasons where he plays at least 87% of his minutes at the small forward position.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, how much do positions really matter? I think that it matters.
At the one, I think it really matters.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think 5, you got a guy like Zoo.
I think in
between there, I don't know.
To me, 4 or 5 matters.
Okay.
And that's just because, I mean, for the most part, it's more on the defensive end.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a true power forward is generally like the second strongest dude on the court.
Yeah, biggest dude.
Yeah, and you're going to have, you know, your star guarding those guys night in, night out.
Yeah.
Or do you, you know, move him onto a guard or move him onto the team's best scorer, and then who's covering the power mm-hmm. forward? So I think that 4 and 5 do kind of matter to
Fair.
Me. So let's look at Paul George, because he also is a pretty natural small forward. I think you'd be hard pressed to argue that. However, he's played the same amount over his career at power forward, around 9% of his minutes throughout his career.
Mm-hmm.
76 at the small forward, which
Damn.
You know makes sense.
Yeah.
Interesting. He has played about 17% of his minutes at shooting guard, and much like Kawhi. It's like clockwork if you look at the on-off numbers.
Yeah.
He is most effective when he plays the majority of his minutes at small forward.
Yeah.
And there were some increases with him playing at power forward. But I think, to me, and this is just based on like my opinions, I think that Paul George makes more sense at the shooting guard than Kawhi.
I absolutely do. Body type, defensiveness, and how they play the game, to me, it makes more sense.
And just shooting.
Yeah.
Makes a little bit more sense to me. But I don't know. Like, I think that, I mean, you know, we can only have one small forward on the court at any given time. So if, I think the most likely scenario is going to be Beverly handling point duties with Paul George in a shooting guard kind of a sort of a guard
adjacent
forward role.
Yeah.
And Kawhi, I think it just seems most natural for me for him to just stay at the three.
I agree. And looking at Harkless's numbers, 77% of his minutes at the small forward, 22% at power forward.
Yeah.
That's kind of a better distribution compared to some of these guys for someone we can move around. And he's a guy who fits that role of like, we need you to play maybe the two, maybe the four kind of thing.
Yeah.
I like
for
these interchangeable pieces we have.
Definitely.
On the lower end of the ability spectrum. Not to sound like a dickhead, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I would see Harkless most likely playing a bench role. But I think that you can switch him between small forward or power forward.
Mm-hmm.
He has the size, he's a strong dude, he's young. And
great braids.
His career best net came in 16-17 when he played the highest amount of power forward he's ever played.
There you go.
So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Seems like a no-brainer.
Which to me just reinforces the idea that Jamichael Green deserves to be in the starting lineup. It makes the most sense.
88% of his minutes at power forward. I'm a huge Jamichael Green believer.
Yeah.
Which is funny. I say that and I just said I want him on the second unit, but that's because I want him to break the will of the other team with our bench.
But on the flip side, do you just run with Jamichael at the center?
I'm down with that, too.
On the starting unit.
I don't know if there's enough teams that are that small to start the game to where it's viable. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. I think that
if small ball was even more dominant, then hell yeah, let's do it. But if, you know, opening night, it doesn't seem like it'd be a good matchup against the Lakers.
I also don't think it's going to be a thing, too, where we have like a continuously variable starting lineup. We've talked about this a bunch, but I think that minutes-wise, this team is going to question what a true starter is or like how
that
really
works. But
we're going
to have a set lineup.
I think that when they're introducing the starting lineup, it's going to be the same guys. And I think for that reason,
Gortat was still getting minutes when Trez was killing it.
He was
still out there.
Yeah, and I think for that reason, we probably won't see Jamichael starting at the five
during the
regular season. Though, just as an aside on Jamichael, he had his best net rating in his lone season with the Clippers, and it was the highest center usage he's ever had in his career.
I mean, that lineup against Golden State would have beat any other team. You know what I'm saying? Like it was our version of the death lineup.
Yeah,
which I would be super down for. But I agree with your point that minutes wise we're going to switch stuff, but we're going to have a set lineup. It's not a tinkery. Doc's not a tinkerer like this.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be a set lineup.
So, long story short, we do have a lot of guys that play the small forward.
Thankfully, it's a little interchangeable, position-wise. It's much better than having a bunch of guys who play the one or, like, the five.
Yeah, for sure.
Which we're a little short on, but hey, maybe Joakim Noah comes through.
Hey, we can only hope.
Coming up after this, we have a fantastic Love, Marry, Kill. Let us know what you think about the forward situation. Let us know if you think we should add any forwards by trading away all of our depth. I don't know. Some people want it. All right, welcome to Love, Marry, Kill.
What do you got for us?
Okay, so today, this is a fun one. I don't think any of them have ever been serious, but this is a fun one. Kobe put a preteen girl on blast for wanting to dance instead of getting yelled at by a sociopath during a basketball game. If you're not familiar with it, he does not seem like a very good fun coach to play with. So my question, what current or former Clippers player would you want coaching your daughter in preteen basketball, and how would they handle her missing a game due to a prior commitment? The candidates are former Clipper great, Keith Kloss.
All right.
Shout out Keith Kloss. Current Clipper great, Patrick Beverley.
Oh, man.
And former Clipper great, Glenn Big Baby Davis. Oh. But of course, we can add some William Updike wild cards in here.
All right. I'm loving it.
I am going to love Glenn Davis as the coach.
Wow. Okay. Why?
And I think if my daughter was like, hey, Coach Big Baby, I can't make it to the game. I'm in 4-H and my pig is up for the state championship. I think he would say, I'm not at the game either. I'm in my private jet hanging out. Good luck at 4-H. I think it'd be a very fun coach. Maybe would not teach them the most about basketball skills.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think it'd be a fun time. I think maybe him and
what
I...
What are the Big Baby Davis fundamentals that he's teaching your theoretical daughter?
How to roll a backwoods.
Oh, this is a terrible coach.
No, that's why I'm saying I love it. I'm not married. I think he's a guy who I could get beers with after the game, and maybe he would say some mean things about some of the other players, and I'd be like, dude, you maybe got to chill. Like, this is fun, but maybe chill out. I'm obviously marrying Pat Bev as the coach of my daughter's basketball team.
Okay. All right. You think that he would have a chill with a...
Oh, I don't think it'd be chill. Basketball team? I think he'd give one of those responses of like, it'd start with one of these. Sort of a real heavy sigh, and he would go, this game means a lot to our team. Being there for your team is one of the most important things you can do as an athlete and in life. However, if you truly believe that your future is better equipped if you go win this 4-H ribbon for having the biggest pig in the state of California, I can't hamper you for wanting to be a champion in your own way.
I mean, that's great.
That's the perfect response. And then I got to kill Keith Kloss for this situation.
Oh, man.
No disrespect to Keith Kloss. He coaches youth basketball.
Yeah.
In real life. I'm sure he's a fantastic coach, but against this matchup, it just seems difficult.
I'm loving Keith Kloss, actually.
Love it!
Man, he just has such an interesting story. He's a guy who has, like, completely turned his life around.
100%. Great dude. Talk with us.
I think that's, like, a great inspiration.
You're shitting
on mine. I think that's, like, a great inspiration, you know, for the girls in this scenario.
That's a great call.
And I think that if a girl was unable to, like, come to something, I think he would be really understanding. Provided that it was something like productive in the person's life, if they were just like, you know, sneaking off to smoke cigarettes or whatever, I think he'd lay the hammer down, which I also love.
You're raising a badass if she's smoking off to smoke cigarettes. Man, maybe I'm going to keep mine. I got to keep it for continuity, but that's a very good reason to have Keith Kloss.
And I would love to have the picture on my mantelpiece of giant Keith Kloss.
And with your daughter?
Yeah, and my 12-year-old daughter.
And little Patty Updike or whatever your
daughter. Mabel.
That's a good call.
All right, so Mary, I'm going to toss my own in the mix.
Of course.
I got to do it every single week.
Yeah.
I'm marrying Sam Cassell.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't know. Watching Sam Cassell, he's always happy. Like, he's always smiling. I think he'd be a great youth coach.
He was with Shay.
Yeah. No, exactly. He's so great at developing people. And I feel like if she was like, she had to miss it in this scenario for her 4-H pig thing, he would be like, oh, man.
Hey, your daughter can do whatever she wants. Mine's just the 4-H pig girl.
I think that I think that Sam Cassell would show up outside the house and be like, I got this U-Haul so we can get the pig in there with some extra feed, maybe gain a couple LBs on the way over.
I love that. He's just there for the girl.
He's there, yeah. Anything you
That's
need.
That's legit, bro.
And I'm going to kill...
That's a great wild card.
I'm going to kill Glenn Davis.
You son of a bitch.
I'm a fan of Big Baby. I just, I don't know. I don't know that, I don't know that I'd want to incur his response to my daughter personally.
You wouldn't want to deal with, you would have to deal with the brunt of it.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You don't want to throw hands with Glenn Davis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think that's fair. Got some big hands.
Got some big hands. Seems impossible to knock out. Remember when he got hit with that Dwight elbow?
Oh, yeah.
Fell to the ground and got up immediately.
What did you think of the Kobe post? Are people blowing it out of proportion, or was he being a little lunatic?
I think it was insane.
I think it's a little of both, but mostly him being a lunatic.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that's what I mean. It's just like... did it get blown out of proportion? Maybe, but that's an absurd thing to say about a bunch of kids. And I get that, like, it's like his brand or whatever, but I don't think you should be dragging kids, especially kids that aren't yours, into that.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to whoever's paying the money to be on Kobe's basketball team. Can't imagine it's a cheap squad to join up with.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Guys, that about wraps it up for us on this fantastic Friday. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a brand new show for you Monday, live stream this weekend if something crazy happens.
For sure.
You never know. Would appreciate it if you guys rated us, subscribed, all those things.
Yeah.
If you say something funny in the review, we will say it on the show.
Oh, for sure.
Just letting you know. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I've been William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening.